It's showtime.
Hey, welcome to Did You Watch Survivor Last Night? This is the Only the Challenge podcast. My name is Jake Scheidel. Each week I ask my best friend, Thomas Powell, if he did indeed watch a certain reality show. Hey, Thomas, how is it going today?
Man, I'm doing all right, Jake.
Wow, you sound so excited. It's like almost as if you just are so enthusiastic to talk about a reality TV show on a very light subject after this fun week of life in America.
Maybe I've just had enough of reality, Jake, you know?
Well,
maybe Ben Stiller was onto something, because...
Reality bites. Truer words, you know?
I really want someone to do, like, a bad, like, backpack-style, like, punchline rap thing where someone's like, reality bites, Ben Stiller.
Yeah, why not? Why aren't there more Ben Stiller references in rap music these days? In 1992, he was all the rage. Reality Bites, The Ben Stiller Show, his dad was on Seinfeld. The 90s were great for Ben Stiller. Zoolander was in the works. Great stuff. Anyway, speaking of television, did you watch The Challenge last night?
Yes, I did.
Oh, boy. Okay. This week's episode was called Duplicity. I think solid episode title now.
Yeah, pretty good.
Pretty good. Start off, we see Big T is keeping an eye on Anissa and Tori.
Big T Langston.
Big T Langston, great. Yeah. Fessy has a crush on Tori. Jay's been trying to make friends this season. Big episode for Jay, finally.
Big Jay episode. A lot of good episode for Jay making, like, reaction facial expressions.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, he'll be very popular.
What a delight to have him on the show.
Isn't it fun to have people on Survivor on the Challenge now?
Yeah, no, it's I feel like Jay is like, he doesn't show up that much, but he just adds like a little spice every time he shows up. He's always doing something interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very excited to see more of him. I'm glad he wasn't out three episodes in this season.
Yeah, we haven't had a lot of Natalie the last couple episodes now that she's not with Wes, too, you know?
Yeah, what did Corey and her call their team? Team Who This?
Yeah.
It's like, all right, fair enough. I really like him, but yeah, it's weird. It's a weird combo. How did you feel when Big T told the story of being given to her mom's sister as a gift when her mom got sick?
I feel like with that story, I missed the part where the name Big T came from.
Oh, is that what Devin was asking?
Yeah, did she actually explain that? I don't think she did.
Oh, I thought he was just asking who Big T was as a person.
Oh, maybe. I assumed he was wondering where the nickname came from.
No, her first name starts with T, and she's very small, so they call her Big T.
Okay.
Get it?
That's pretty... Yeah, it's a classic, you know, called the big guy tiny, or whatever.
Exactly. It's the same idea. But then also, like, 10 or 15 years ago, there was somebody on this show called Big Easy, and he was very big. So, you know, it goes both ways. There's a team people want to see. Big E.T.? It's like you didn't watch the show in the early or mid-2000s.
I certainly didn't. I was too busy thinking about, like, a big E.T. I like that everybody rightfully is kind of coming to the realization that if you ever saw... There's been a lot of tweets about this lately for some reason, but, like, if you saw, like, E.T. in real life as a kid, you would, like, kill him with a baseball bat.
Oh, yeah, probably.
That's an upset, just a truly upsetting thing to have to deal with. Like, that's... We're shooting that thing with airsoft guns.
Yeah, I would be very confused and terrified if I saw that thing walking around. But that's the whole point of the movie.
It's not pleasant to look at, but he's nice. The important thing is that he's nice.
That's what we learned from the movie.
He's the BFET, the big friendly extraterrestrial.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
What did you think of Devin making fun of Amber M? That seemed weird, right? Did you see that?
Yeah, I mean, like, she was, like... What was he annoyed with her doing? She was, like, trying to stir the pot on something, maybe? I don't know.
I don't know. Big T told her story, and then he, like, moved on to Amber and started making fun of her for no reason, it seemed like.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't.
I don't know what that was all about.
I didn't totally follow everything that was happening here.
It seemed like a scene had been edited out. There was no real...
Yeah, it didn't really track.
It was hard to follow. So then he asks who wants Amber M to leave the room, and nobody does. So he says, okay, I've been voted off the island, and leaves. So we do need to get Devin on Survivor now.
Yeah, I guess that's true. This led to my favorite running theme of this season, which is people lying about someone crying when they were talking to them.
Why does this keep happening?
I love it when people do this.
Mm-hmm.
That was, like, yeah, she tells Nelson what happened, and Nelson gets mad about it, so he goes to confront Devin and wakes him up, and is like, bro, Amber... Like, what happened with you and Amber? Like,
she's crying in tears.
She comes to me in tears. She's, like, crying on my shoulder about this. I love that just, like, the last time, too, they kept cutting back to her just looking entirely calm. Like, not really bothered in any way.
She was just like, Devin's an asshole and was kind of drunk, so he was being an asshole.
Devin took had the right response to this, which is, I'm not going to talk to you about this. Go away. And Nelson kept pushing it. And he was like, you can talk to Big T, you can talk to, who else was there?
Kyle.
You can talk to Kyle, they were there, then you can come back and talk to me if you still want to.
Yeah.
And, I thought this was, stupid. I don't know what Nelson thought he was doing.
I don't know. Nelson, as impressive as Nelson is in challenges, he's not an intimidating figure in face-to-face confrontations.
Yeah, well, it's like, it's such a weird tack to take, too. You could just be like, hey, man, like, don't, like, you're being really rude to my partner for no reason. Don't do that. Instead, he has to be like, bro, she's crying. She said she's going to kill herself because of you.
Especially since Devin is, like, still sleeping and most likely hungover, it seemed like.
Yeah, it's absolutely, like, you're not getting an answer out of this. Devin correctly tells him to go fuck off.
Like, maybe if you brought him, like, a Gatorade and a sandwich from the gas station, maybe then he would talk to you.
Yeah. But, if you give me one of those reheated, like, Speedway breakfast sandwiches, then now we're talking.
Yeah, I'll do anything for you if you bring me something like that in the morning.
What if he brought you one of those, like, roller hot dogs from 7-Eleven?
Honestly, I would appreciate that. If he went through and put on all the fixins, I would absolutely talk to him. Like, I'm sorry, man. I appreciate the big gulp hot dog.
Yeah, or he got you that, or one of the, like, taquitos.
I'd be more into the taquitos than the big gulp hot dogs, but... I mean... That's just preference at that point.
When you say big gulp hot dog, it just makes me think of a hot dog sitting in the middle of a big gulp.
Yeah, it's like Twizzlers. Did you not know that the hot dogs
at 7-Eleven are like Twizzlers? Me hollowing an uncooked hot dog out and using it as a straw in a big gulp.
Well, no, what you do, you order one of the cheddar dogs, slurp
out
the
cheese. Oh, God. Oh.
And I then hate you put those. That in your big gulp.
I hate
straw.
Those. And so the idea of putting it, like, it was already not gross, but that really...
Thomas.
It was already gross, but that took me to a new level. Yeah.
It may be gross, but you have to consider, a big gulp on its own is 99 cents. A hot dog on its own is 99 cents. But a big gulp hot dog, that's $1.49, so you're actually saving, like, 50 cents.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, gotta consider that. I honestly forgot Amber and Nelson were partners.
Yeah, they haven't really done anything at all this season until this episode.
Yeah, came in handy. They do a good job editing around, because it seems like every episode, the team who goes into elimination, the whole episode is focused on them. It's like, is shit happening constantly in this house?
Maybe. It's hard to tell.
It is. Anyway, great show, great editing. Is there an Emmy for editing?
Give it to this one. Survivor's been slipping.
Yeah. Although we were just complaining about how there was a scene edited out.
Yeah, that's
between the Big T and Amber M conversations.
Yeah, we didn't get all the details there. What are they hiding from us?
TJ is all about getting the challenge, the Emmy consideration it deserves, and I think that's a fair fight, but I think first and foremost, TJ should get the Emmy for hosting.
Absolutely. I think there should be a reality show host Emmy. I think it's ridiculous that there isn't.
There is.
Oh, well, see? Look, I just put the work in. They have it now.
Well done. Thank
you. How many of
those
has Jeff Probst won?
I don't know if he's ever won. Maybe once, maybe twice.
Is it reality / game show host?
I don't know exactly.
Because my thought would be like Alex Trebek would be winning a lot of those.
Oh, sure.
Field's open now.
I don't know that he... I've never seen him nominated, but I know Jeff has been nominated almost every time. RuPaul, I feel like, is nominated a lot.
Sure.
What's his name from Amazing Race is nominated a lot. Neve has never been nominated.
Emmy, Primetime Emmy Award for Outstanding Host for a Reality or Competition Program. So, that makes sense. Yes, Jeff Probst won in 2008. Jeff Probst won in 2009. Jeff Probst won in 2010. Jeff Probst won in 2011. So Jeff Probst won 4 years in a row. I think that's when it was... I think 2008 is when it was created. Then Tom Bergeron for Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, not America's Funniest Videos?
Yeah, Tim Gunn and Heidi Klum, well-deserved for Project Runway. Sure. Jane Lynch for Hollywood Game Night. Jane Lynch again for Hollywood Game Night. RuPaul. Okay, RuPaul's won like 5 in a row.
RuPaul's the new Jeff Probst, apparently.
They're not even nominating him anymore. What the fuck is this?
Look, it's like...
They nominated Ellen DeGeneres for Ellen's Game of Games in 2018, and they didn't nominate Jeff Probst. That's unbelievable.
Are you surprised that...
You telling me that they're going to nominate Jane Lynch a million times for a show nobody watched, and they're not going to nominate TJ?
Hollywood Game Night, that show was so popular. Hollywood Game Night, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you're right. They should be nominating TJ. He's so good at this. Especially if there's a most improved since the start, TJ should get it. I just watched one of his first seasons on Netflix. And man, he's gotten a lot better at it over time. Over the last like 12 years he's been doing this.
Jeff Probst has only been nominated 4 times. Did they stop nominating him so that he couldn't win anymore?
This is the Emmy conspiracy. This is like the cold envelope.
He's 4 for 4. Like, he's been nominated 4 times and he's won 4 times. They must have just been like, no, you can't do this anymore.
Jeff Probst is kind of the direct.
It's not fair to RuPaul. RuPaul's won 5 times. Unbelievable that Jeff is being blackballed like this.
Jeff Probst is the Durrell of the Emmys in that he was nominated 4 times and he won his first 4 times in the final, like Durrell. Who has not really been featured much this season, unfortunately. How did you like this mission where they have to fly drones through lava tunnels and decode a code?
I thought it was great because they were all bad at it, and TJ was having a lot of fun making fun of them.
It's the one of the best kinds of challenges where it's just TJ laughing 90% of the time.
Yeah. When we get TJ laughing, that's the way to, you know, that's how you know it's good.
TJ laughing, yes. Devin and Tori are the only team to complete the challenge, so that's great. Also, Liv is medically disqualified, so Michi, who is already Zendaya, becomes a rogue agent. Just feel like it's Michi and Zendaya. He doesn't need a partner, you know? Anyway, Tori wants the strong teams to target the weaker teams, but Devin wants to target the Big Brother Alliance. How are they gonna figure out what to do? Are you invested in the politics of each player ever?
Not really.
No?
Should I be?
I feel like it's very hard to keep track of a lot of the time. I know, like, the chunks of alliances. Like, I know, like, Team Young Buck is Corey and Nelson and Fessy, apparently. And then there's everyone else. And then the Big Brother alliance seems important. But I had the thought so many times, who is Devin aligned with? Now that Wes is gone, that was... Like, who's Nani aligned with? Who's... Jay's aligned with everybody, but nobody also. I feel like it has to be important because of the vote, but also there's so many people. It's so hard to keep track of. Anyway. Nelson wants to run the final with Corey and Fessy. Tori says she'll volunteer if it's a hall brawl. Fessy flirts with Gabby. Now we have to care about that, too, apparently. And then Josh doesn't trust Jay for some reason, so we got more of that fight.
This was so stupid. I don't understand. I don't understand why Josh acts the way that he does in any situation.
I don't either. I don't get it. I especially
he got
like,
Jay mad. Jay, you like when I don't think I've ever seen Jay mad before.
Yeah. At one point, while Jay is just sitting on the bench, Josh turns to Casey, like trying to prove his point, and says, "Do you see his energy?" While Jay is just sitting there on the bench, like
what Jay just stares at the camera. There's some good Jay faces here. Yeah. He was very confused, and then he got annoyed.
Yeah. Man, I can't wait to see Jay take out Josh in an elimination.
Yep.
And then maybe Josh will be done forever.
It's wishful thinking.
Yeah.
You're stuck with him, Jake. He won Big Brother, so they're going to keep putting him on.
And he keeps giving them content. You know the producers love content.
They love it. There's nothing that challenge producers love more than having a big, stupid asshole in the house.
Yeah, who can't compete, so he's just a nail in everyone's side? A thorn in everyone's side?
Yes.
Yeah. Nelson and Amber M are voted into the elimination. Wow, how did I forget that word? So that's exciting. Were you excited to see Amber M and Nelson be voted in?
Yes, I was.
You don't like them, or you do like them, you're excited to see what they can do?
No, I was ready for them to go.
Before we talk about this elimination, though, we need to talk about the music that was featured this episode in a new segment called Music Minute. This week's song, only one song featured, is Rock You Like a Hurricane by the Scorpions. How do you like this song?
Yeah, this is basically the... Like, I was happy. I like the way that they used that song. But, like, It was basically the opposite of what I predicted. I think if you're like, what is the opposite 80s band from Depeche Mode? It would be Scorpions.
Yeah. I like how we keep talking about how it's, like, new wave 80s music. And I don't think Scorpions could ever be described as new wave.
No!
I was not expecting that.
No, yeah, I don't
know
that I would call them that.
What do you know about Rock You Like a Hurricane? Do you know anything about the history of this song? Do you have any good stories about this song?
No, I know the Scorpions are a German band.
Mm-hmm.
The only song of theirs that I know much of anything about is the song Winds of Change, which I want to say that there was... There are theories that... and, like, decent amounts of investigation that the CIA basically wrote the song Winds of Change.
Oh, really? I feel like I've heard about that, but never really read much about it.
Yeah, because it was very much like it was them being like, Soviet Union's over, no more Soviet Union.
Oh, good.
Soviet Union is over party.
Well, that's fun. The song Rock You Like a Hurricane was released February 7, 1984. I'm not going to ask you how old you were, because I know... 90s babies over here. This was the lead single off their 9th studio album. Did you know they have 9 studio albums at least?
I know that they were around for quite a while, so I don't know that I would have guessed how many they had, but I'm not surprised to hear that. I think they're bigger in Germany than they are than they were in the U.S. too. So.
Oh, that makes sense. This album was called Love at First Sting.
Is this the one that? Okay, I'm gonna guess that this one also had No One Like You on it, which is another hit of theirs.
One second. What was the song you said?
I said No One Like You.
No One Like You. It does not... I don't see it on here.
All right.
No. Bad Boys Running Wild, Rock You Like a Hurricane, I'm Leaving You, Coming Home, The Same Thrill, Big City Nights, As Soon as the Good Times Roll, Crossfire, and Still Loving You. And then there's a bunch of other...
I don't know that I've heard any of those songs other than Rock You Like a Hurricane.
Well...
But I am only familiar with, like, three Scorpion songs, and they are No One Like You, Rock You Like a Hurricane, and Winds of Change. So,
to be honest, I am familiar with only this one. When I saw that it was Scorpions, I said, oh yeah, I forgot that was a band.
Yep.
This song peaked at number 25 on the Billboard Hot 100. Did you know, in 2000, they released Hurricane 2000, which is the same song, but features the Berlin Philharmonic Orchestra behind them.
Oh, that sounds like it sucks.
I watched the YouTube video of it, and it was the music video of it. It was very fun. But I also didn't finish it. Do you know what Rock You in a Hurricane refers to? Do you know what the inspiration was?
When did this one come out again?
1984.
Okay. Wow. So it was about George Orwell.
Oh my God. This song is so much about George Orwell.
Yeah, this song is just like George Orwell's 1984. I'm going to say it was about Hurricane Andrew.
You know, it in fact was not about a specific hurricane. The U refers to the United States, and the hurricane is the band Scorpions.
Oh, okay.
Which, like, listening to the song, it's like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
They're
going to
hit the United States with the force of a hurricane.
Exactly. And they did with this song that's still familiar 40 years later. 30 years later? Whatever. What year is it? 40 years later.
It was 40 years ago.
Okay. So, in the crater, guess what? It's Hall Brawl. Were you excited that it was Hall Brawl?
Yeah, Hall Brawl's fun.
This is like the big one. TJ will not tell them if it's a men's or women's elimination, so Tori does not go down. Instead, she votes in Anissa and Fessy, which shocks everybody. I really liked when everybody was shocked that Nam turned to Anissa to ask her if everything was okay. And he was like, yeah, it's fine. It was very sweet. Nam's good. We love Nam.
Yeah, Nam's great.
TJ reveals this is a men's elimination, so it's Nelson versus Fessy. This is why you need to care about the politics of each character. Because Nelson and Fessy, Thomas, they're friends. Can't have that.
Speaking of, we were talking about gender reveals earlier. Fessy flew across the country to go to Nelson's gender reveal.
Oh my God, that was so annoying. Why is that a thing? Who cares?
It's really stupid. I don't understand why people do it.
Yeah. It's Nelson and Fessy, and then Fessy brutalizes Nelson in the hall and body slams him and removes his mask, which you're not supposed to do because of COVID, Fessy. Like, he'd be arrested if he did that in real life.
I also really liked the more good editing was when he was like, I didn't even realize Josh wanted to go in. And they immediately cut to Josh being like, I really want to go in, bro.
Yeah.
Just saying it to him.
Vessi clearly not paying attention. Yeah. I feel like they just keep Josh around because he'll be an easy elimination later on. He's never won an elimination. I don't think he's ever won a daily challenge. He's not good at this game.
Nope.
It's fun, though. It's so much fun to see him get in fights with everyone, just in case. I wonder if there are fights that happen that don't have any, that don't impact the story at all, that are just happening in the background? I would guess yes.
Yeah, there's, I mean, it stands to reason.
Yeah. He loves the attention. But, I mean, Casey was literally crying over pizza in the kitchen.
Yeah, she was her and Amber.
Yeah, they're literally crying.
Literally crying.
Because they had to be patient for 15 minutes. So, Fessy wins. Which means Nelson's out. What did you think of this elimination?
I'm glad to see Nelson go, but I also wouldn't have felt that bad if Fessy went, because I don't particularly like him.
Yeah. Did you find this hard to watch?
Yeah, I thought Fessy kind of deserved to lose, considering how he played.
Yeah. It's hard.
He's being a big dickhead.
It's hard because, like, the whole point of Hallbrawl is to, like, run through your opponent. So, like, the implication is, like, anything goes. But also, the understanding is you just run through them. You don't, like, take time out of your day to smash them on the ground in that way. So that was, I didn't like that. It was poor gamesmanship, poor sportsmanship, whatever. So Nelson's out. Corey vows revenge. Fessy steals Casey.
This was unbelievably stupid. I don't know what the fuck he's doing.
I don't either. Leroy takes Anissa. Great, good new team. Love them.
Yeah, fantastic.
Which means Amber M ends up with Michi. Sure, fine, whatever. I remember liking Amber on Are You the One, but I liked her for the reasons you like a person on Are You the One, which are not the same reasons you like somebody on The Challenge. But sure, let's see what happens. I don't even remember where Michi is from.
Isn't he from, like, America's Got Talent or something?
That was Joseph.
Oh, you're
the
right.
Mustard Man.
The Mustard Man himself.
Yeah, I don't remember Michi. I don't really.
Michi from X on the Beach.
Oh, sure. There's so many people from X on the Beach on this show. I don't know what that show is about. Anyway, Thomas, this is a big week in points. So last week you had 7 points and I had 8 points. You got a point for Leroy surviving. You got a point for Cam surviving. You're now at 9 points. I got a point for Jay surviving, so I'm now at 9 points. We are both tied at 9 points. So this next week is it's a big week for the points.
What person of yours that you picked got voted off?
Nobody got voted off. Nicole was medically disqualified.
Ah, yeah, that's what happened. Okay. Yes. I forgot that you picked Nicole.
Yeah. I regret doing that now, but what can you do? That's the whole point. Yeah. Picking two people.
This is the way it goes.
Okay. Who is winning the next mission?
I'm going to say Leroy and Anissa.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah, that's a good idea. I'm going to say... I'm going to say Big CT.
Okay.
Yeah. Who is voted in by the house?
I'm going to say Josh. Most
likely a women's elimination.
Josh and Nani.
Okay. I like that. I'm going to say Gabby and Leo. Right? Gabby and Leo?
Yes.
Okay. Who's going home?
Who did Fessy stole Casey, right?
Fessy stole Casey, yes.
Okay. I'm gonna say Casey is going home.
Ooh, big move, as Jeff Probst likes to say. I'll say Gabby goes home, I guess.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Who's trading up? Who's getting stolen, right? Yeah. Who's the agent being stolen? in the parlance of the challenge?
In that situation, I'm going to say that Nani takes Fessy.
Wow. Okay. I'll say Leo then takes Natalie. Everybody wants Natalie. Okay. Who, any other predictions, any songs to predict, since Depeche Mode and Blondie were not sung this week?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Really a wild card with that Scorpion song.
Yeah, that kind of expands the possibilities here.
Yeah. So it's anything new wave of any era, apparently, or 80s, I guess. Was there a Scorpions spy movie?
I don't think so.
Oh.
Man, it's tough. It just makes it harder to narrow down. So the last two that they did were that and I think that Billy Idol song, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to say that they play a Pat Benatar song.
Ooh, yeah. I'm going to say a U2 song.
Okay.
No, I don't know. U2.
Oh, they also played
really
that
expensive.
Whitney Houston song.
They did play Whitney Houston, yeah. Whatever. I said U2. I'm sticking with it.
Actually, you know what?
Oh, okay.
Take it back. I'm going to say Hall & Oates.
Ooh, that would be fun. Okay, I like it. That's all the points for the... Do you have any other predictions plot-wise or character-wise or anything?
No.
All right. Thomas, what's your Twitter for people to follow
you? Follow me at TomNotTom before I'm banned for telling the truth about our president, how good he is. Before they do George Orwell's 1984 to my free speech.
Oh my god,
you can
yeah.
Follow me at TomNotTom.
Thomas, I used to have tens of thousands of followers on Twitter.com, and now it's down to like less than 200.
Yeah. It's crazy. Why did that happen?
I don't know why that would happen, but if you wanted to help me get my numbers back up to where they were, you could follow me at Jake Scheidel. The same thing happened to our Twitter for the show, which is DYWSLN. It used to be huge, and now like there's nobody following it. It's weird.
Did you watch Survivor last night, the only Q podcast?
DYWQN. Did you watch Q last night? That's our spinoff podcast where we discuss QAnon conspiracies. Why don't they call them Q-spiracies?
It's a good question.
Oh, because I guess they actually believe them. Because I don't really know how conspiracy theories work. You can follow us on Instagram, The Only Survivor Podcast. Rios on Apple Podcasts. Thomas, please give us that Q-diful Apple Podcast review.
All right, this is my favorite podcast. I like it better than all the other podcasts. I give it a big thumbs up.
Thank you. Okay. I regret saying cutiful like that.
Yeah,
I just want to put that on record. Didn't feel good about that. Okay, well, have a great quarantine.
Deuces. Cuses.
Cuses.
I lay awake at night, false lover, just so troubled. It's hard to keep a job, laid off, I'm having double trouble. But hey, hey, yeah, they say you can make it if you try. Yeah, some of this generation is millionaire.
I want a freaking $1 million, y'all.
It's hard for me to keep these clothes to wear. Your love got me walking, baby, when I have no place to go. The bad luck and trouble's taking me. I have no money to show. Hey, 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 yeah. They say you can make it if you try.
My to go ahead and take the money and run, T.
I know you know about the coconut, but have you seen Gemini Man yet?
No.
You gotta watch it.
When I first started dating my now girlfriend, Gemini Man kept popping up on whatever streaming service, and I was like,
why didn't you guys watch it?
What if we watch Gemini Man? She turned it down every single time, to the point that she's annoyed now if I bring it up. So no, I haven't seen Gemini Man.
Listen, you just gotta be persistent, okay?
You
gotta
wear it. Thank you. That's what I needed to hear.
You gotta start getting emotionally manipulative. You gotta be like, if you loved me, you would watch Gemini Man. I'm sorry that Will Smith is important to you. He's very important to me.
You're a millennial.
I'm sorry that you don't care about my interests. You know, all that stuff. That'll not only improve your relationship, but you'll watch Gemini Man.
And we'll watch a movie that she'll hate. So yeah. It'll be great.
It's a real win-win. You win, and then you win again. Who cares about her?
Yeah. What's the point of a relationship?
Yeah, it's about getting one over on your partner.
Hooray, we did it.